God's word to us. Let's pray, because I need help to speak and you need help to listen. God, we bow before you and we acknowledge your perfect word to us, that it is without error and it comes to us with authority. And God, we pray that as that authority enters our ears, that your spirit would do its work as is promised in the pages of scripture. And so to that end, we desire to glorify you because of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 5, 11 to 14. Go ahead and turn there if you have a Bible. If you don't, man, grab one after the service. We have Bibles at the Welcome Space. Staff member would love to meet you there and get a Bible to you. Chapter 5, 11 through 14. And as that was read, and as I read it this week and thought about the text in front of us, it's like the author is giving the ancient audience the last 10% of what they need to hear. Last 10%. One writer says this, before launching into the arguments of chapter 7 through 10. So you come back, we're going to preach through Hebrews. In chapter 7 through 10, he's going to give us more truth. But it's almost like the author stops here before launching into more arguments that he's making and has been making. And he gives some warnings. And really the warnings run from verse 11, where we're going to be today, all the way through chapter 6, verse 8. So it's almost like the writer says, time out. I want 90% of the truth, 10% of what you guys need to hear right now. Warnings and encouragements. And that really runs to the end of chapter 6, 9 through 20 there. So it's almost like here, last 10%. You know what I mean by that? Do you have a last 10% friend? You know, they tell you what you need to hear. Last 10%, this is off the internet, so you can trust it. Sharing, it says this about the last 10%. This is an article on relationships. Sharing feedback is tough. I'm quoting now. But the ability to share and receive the last 10% transforms us into our most authentic selves. Sounds good, doesn't it? I don't know that I want to know about my most authentic self. But from what that article says, if you have someone in your life that'll tell you the last 10% about yourself, you'll become more authentic. And I think that's probably true. You have somebody like that. You have a last 10% friend. My wife is a last 10% friend. Like, our marriage is like that. Maybe you're not married and so you got a roommate like that, or your parents are like that, or a sibling is like that. I don't know who is that person. Jolynn, tell me what I need to hear. She's not here, but she tells me what I need to hear. We talk about that a lot, like how we're received in public. Like, when I'm in public, we get back in the car, she's like, you acted like a jerk, you know that? Is that, you know, well, I thought I was pretty nice. She's like, no, you didn't talk to so-and-so, or what's with your attitude? Or like lately she's been telling me I point my finger at people a lot. And I don't mean anything by that, but it's like, she said, here's the last 10%, Matt, stop pointing your finger at people. So help me with that. All right, if I point my finger at you, help me with that, because she is. But last 10%, I want people like that. I want to know what I need to know about myself. And in some ways, that's what the author's doing here. He's telling them some things about themselves, and he's been telling them the truth, right? Last week, Pastor Brent talked about the fact, in the process of Jesus is better. That's our theme for the teaching series. But in the process, you know, Jesus is better than angels and Moses. Jesus is a better older brother. Jesus is our better high priest. We started there in chapter 5 last week. You can go back and check that out. But there, you know, the high priest is something that the readers, the original audience, they would have known a lot about, because the Old Testament, the high priest was a prominent person, the person who went before God and confessed the sin of the people, but confessed his own sin. And so, you know, day after day, offering sacrifices, sympathizing with their suffering. And when they thought of a high priest, the original audience, these Jewish Christians, they would have thought of who? They thought of Aaron, right? They would have been like, oh, a high priest like Aaron. The writer of Hebrews says, no, not like Aaron, like who? Like Melchizedek. Nobody got it, but you're awake. Nobody got it, but Melchizedek, right? That's, last week we were introduced to the international man of mystery, Melchizedek. We're not going to talk about him today, but we will in coming weeks. And so Jesus is, he's a better high priest. So it's getting thick. You understand? Hebrews is getting deep. The writer says, time out. I've been telling you the truth, but I got to tell you some things about yourself. I got to tell you the last 10%. It's some stuff you really need to hear. So with the original audience, we're like, what is it? Like I say to my wife, tell me, I can take it. I'm a man. Tell me what I need to hear. Well, here's the last 10%. Hopefully you're there by now. Hebrews 5:11, We have a great deal to say about this. In other words, I have truth I need to tell you. It's difficult to explain. You know why? Because you become too lazy to understand. That's the last 10%. You're lazy. Were you ready for it? You're dull. That's another translation. We have a great deal to say. It's difficult, though. Here's why it's difficult. Because you're lazy. You're too lazy to understand. You're dull. One translation says, you no longer try to understand. You become sluggish in your hearing. You don't seem to listen. CSB uses that word lazy. Jump down the page. You might have to turn in the notebook Bible you do. But look at 6 verse 12. He's talking about the truth he's giving in chapter 6. He says, so that you won't become, what's the word? Lazy. Same word. So you won't become lazy. So the author, in giving the last 10%, said, you become lazy. You become dull. It really means dull with respect to what is heard. You know what you need to hear, but you're really not listening. And man, there is a glaring, you shouldn't be dull. You should be listening. Students, high school kids here, middle schoolers who are probably sleeping, you should. You've been up all night. End of the semester, DMAC kids, college, end of the semester, Christmas coming. And I talked to a kid this week, like, man, I can't wait till the semester's over. Some of you're taking tests and you're like, I don't care anything about that information. I will never use it again in my life. And all of us who went from college through college, we remember those classes, right? Like, I'm a 55-year-old man. There's stuff I never use from college, right? That's a class you're like, I just want to get whatever's on the test. I want to pass it and get done, right? You become dull to the class. You're like, all I got to do is just squeak through with a D and never see this professor again. I'm done with that class. My ears are dead to it, that information. I mean, some of you are like, I love to learn. But sometimes there's that class you're just like, I want over it. Man, the original writer's like, listen, there are things about God that you should be sharp to. You should be listening. And you know what? You become dull. You don't want to hear. I'm telling you all this stuff that's deep and hard to understand. I know that. But you've checked out on me. It's a problem, isn't it? It's the last 10%. And he assesses it in terms of teaching, eating, and training. So those are the kind of metaphors he uses. So that's what we're gonna talk about. Three questions, all right? Here we go. Here's the first question to assess. Are you dull? You're like, am I dull spiritually? Well, three questions. First one's this. Are you teaching or do you need someone to teach you? That's the first question he asked. You see that? Look at verse 12. Although by this time, you ought to be what? A couple whispered it. Yeah, you're right. Be bold. It's not Jesus this time. It's teachers. You should be teachers, he says. By now you should be teachers. You need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation. Again, one writer says there is on the part of the original hearers, there is an unwillingness or an inability. Those are two different things. We're gonna come back to that. Some of the people are unwilling. Some of them don't know how. There's an unwillingness to be teachers. And after a certain time, this is true. Listen, after a certain time, anyone instructed in the faith ought to be able to explain it to others. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. Like, as you grow in Jesus, you ought to be able to handle more information and share it with people. It's not hard to understand, but man, it's hard to do. So the question is, if you know and follow Jesus, are you teaching or do you still need someone to teach you? There's three phrases stick out to me. Let me read this again. We have a great deal to say about this. That's one I underlined. We have a great deal to say about this. It's difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Although by this time, that's another phrase I underline. By this time, and here's the third phrase I underline. You ought to be. Those three phrases really stand out to me. About this, by this time, and you ought to be. Here's what the writer's saying. If you want to assess, should I be a teacher or do I still need to be taught? If you want to assess, where am I at with that? The writer of Hebrews challenges his readers and challenges us to think about growing. So here's the thing. Are you growing in knowledge? Are you growing over time? Are you growing over time? I forgot the third one. I got to turn a page. Are you growing to give? Okay. Ask yourself those three questions. Am I growing in knowledge? That's what he asked. Are you growing in your understanding of the Bible? Am I growing over time? Because he says at this time, his readers should be teaching. And he's like, you need to be taught. So are you growing over time? And then are you growing to give? I don't care. I mean, I do care, but I don't care if you're an information factory about the Bible. Are you giving that information away? Can you teach? Can you impart Bible knowledge to others? And if you should be, why aren't you? Why aren't I doing that? So, are you teaching? Do you need someone to teach you? How do I gauge that? Well, am I growing in my knowledge of the Bible? Am I growing over time? And am I growing to give? Let's unpack that. He says, I want to tell you about this, but I can't. What's he talking about? Well, what he's been teaching about, which is the priesthood of Jesus compared to Melchizedek. How many think that's hard? That's hard truth, right? Like, maybe last week was the first time you ever heard Melchizedek. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name right, right? I mean, it's like deep. And so the writer of Hebrews says, listen, this information in the Bible is going to get deep, and I need you to know what I'm talking about. But you're not ready. You should be teaching, but you have to be taught. So are you growing in your content of the Bible? Notice in verse 12 there, he refers to just an understanding of the basic principles of God's revelation. Jump down to chapter 6, verse 1. He uses the same kind of phrase. He said, we should leave the elementary teachings about Christ. Listen, some of us here, you're new to Jesus, and it's elementary for you. That's fine. No one's picking on that. There are folks in here, your connection group, you're like, man, I'm drinking out of a fire hose. I don't even know where the books of the Bible are. I hold it upside down sometimes. That's okay. You'll figure it out. We're not after you. I'll tell you who the writer of Hebrews is after. He's after the people that haven't got beyond that. They haven't got beyond that. They haven't grown in their knowledge. These readers, they needed guidelines to interpret, especially for them, the Old Testament, what one translation calls the oracles of God. Doesn't that sound impressive? Oracles of God. But in the Old Testament, they've been given the oracles of God, all the stuff about the Old Testament. And the writer of Hebrews says there's a lot of that you should be able to bring forward into who Jesus is, but you can't because you don't care, because you're dull, because I'm not listening, because I've closed my ears, because I just want to get done with the class. Where are you at with that? You need someone to teach you when you should be teaching? It's growing knowledge. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Here's the kind of person we want to be. Diligent to present yourself to God as one approved. This is a theme verse for Awana, by the way. If you know, you know. Let's move on. Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Look at this. Correctly what? Teaching. The word of truth. So grow in knowledge, grow over time. He says, by this time. Is it time? What time is it in your life? Is it time to step up? If someone came to you and said, hey, here's someone, they need to grow in the faith, would you be able to take the word of God and open it with them? This is really helpful. I can't spend a lot of time on it, but someone explained to me once, like, in the Bible, there are ditch passages, canyon passages. John 3:16, ditch or canyon? It's a ditch. It's an easy verse. Everybody knows it. They hold it up at sporting events. Everybody knows John 3:16. And you know what? Sometimes the problems in our lives are like ditches, right? And so, like, I got a problem. I come to you, hey, there's a problem in my life. You're like, I got a verse for you. I got Psalm 23. I read it. It's great. Because I had a little problem. Psalm 23 is good. Sometimes life brings canyon problems. How many right now, don't raise your hand, but you got a canyon issue in your life. It's like the Grand Canyon. I'm serious. Like, we have problems like that. If I say to you, read John 3:16, you're like, Fry, John 3:16 is great, but man, you got anything else? Do you? Do I have canyon Bible knowledge for canyon problems? Because they're there. Or do I use ditch Bible verses for canyon problems in people's life? And they're like, the Bible's not helping me at all. Writer of Hebrews says, listen, you need to be growing in your knowledge and growing over time. Pick the benchmark you want. 10 days, 10 years, 20 years. How long have you been a Christian? Do you know more about God's word now than you did then? What time is it in your life? Maybe a child in your life, a family member, someone in his church, they need you to teach them. But you know what? You need to be taught. It's not a good thing. So grow in knowledge. Grow over time. The last one is this, that phrase, you ought to be, grow to give. Grow to give. We don't have time to go into all these, but in chapter 3, verse 13, we were told to encourage each other every day. to gather together, to encourage each other in 10 verses 24 and 25 in Hebrews. We should be growing to give, moving past the basic principles of God's revelation. Why? So that I can become the smartest person when in connection group to talk about the Bible. No, who cares? I mean, we care that we know the Bible. But if all you can do is sit in a circle and spout off like good theology, it's not helping anybody. And the writer of Hebrews says, if you're being taught and you need to be teaching, that information, that knowledge that you grow in, the way you grow over time should be knowledge that you want to give away. The revelation of God is for transformation, not just information. There's a lot of us overinformed. You like that? I got all the podcasts. I listen to all the radio preachers. Nobody listens to radio anymore, but I do. Radio preachers, we got it all, right? But it's information. And sometimes I can spout Bible, but is there any transformation taking place? I want to move beyond the basics of revelation. Grow in knowledge. Man, grow over time. Grow to give. What time is it? Are you teaching? Do you need someone to teach you? We need to grow in content over time to give. I said, teaching, eating. One of my favorite things to talk about. Fortunately, the Bible does. Are you eating solid food or drinking milk? Do you see this? Look at let me pick up reading. Second part of verse 12. You need milk. He sounds annoyed. He might be. You need milk, not solid food. He's like, you should be teaching and you need to be taught because you're drinking milk and you need solid food. He expands. The writer expands. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he's an infant. Solid food's for the mature. How do I know if I'm on milk or solid food? Good question. Let me give you three things. In your life, if you're moving from milk to solid food, there should be an appropriate goal. And that goal is this, from the text. I want to be experienced with the message about righteousness. Now look at this. Verse 13, look. Now, everyone who lives on milk is what? No one's looking at their Bible. Inexperienced. Everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced. It is not okay to stay inexperienced. That's milk. Babies drink milk. So the writer says, listen, here should be the goal, that you would gain experience with the Bible, that you would be able to take it and enter into the life of another person and say, this is what the Bible says. To address a ditch problem, to address a canyon problem. Can you do that with the Bible? Or are you still drinking milk? There's an appropriate goal. I want to be experienced with what the writer calls the message about righteousness. I want to be experienced with that. There's an appropriate desire. Sometimes we say, I want milk. Sometimes we say, I want solid food. Listen, there are some of you here in the faith, you are an infant. That's okay. And sometimes your desire should be for milk. Sometimes that's a good desire. Look at this. This is 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word so that you can grow up in your salvation. There's some of you here. Keystone Church is a place where we mix up the formula and we give you milk. And that's good because you're new to Jesus. And you're like, I'm at the basic level. I need to grow. That's awesome. There's a time when that's the right desire. Give me milk. I want to grow. I want to learn more. You know where I'm going. I'm about to pick on some of us because there's others of us here. It's like that time has long passed and we're still drinking milk and it is not an appropriate desire. Like, I just want to come and sit and just feed me 3 points and a story at the end, make me laugh so I can go home. Bad news. That is not what it means to grow up in Jesus, to know and follow him. It means that I go from milk to solid food. There's progress. It's a reflection of what he said when he said, are you being taught or are you teaching? Friend, if you know and follow Jesus, where are you at with that? Is your desire appropriate? It's interesting. The last thing is it's an appropriate progress because this is almost a mirror passage. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:2. The writer there says, it's almost exactly what the writer of Hebrews is saying. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. You know why? Because you weren't ready for it. In fact, you're still not ready for it. I wonder, are you ready for solid food? Is your goal appropriate, your desire appropriate, your progress appropriate? Are you eating solid food? Are you drinking milk? These two verses are interesting to compare. Look at this. The first verse, these are pagans, but I think a lot of Christians are like this. Now, all the Athenians, I think you say all the Christians, because I know a lot of Christians like this. I'm like this sometimes. All the Athenians and the foreigners residing there spent their time on nothing else but telling or hearing something new. That's a lot of Christians I know. We have our book club, and I got my podcast, and I got my person, and they just give me information, then I sit around and talk about it. Look what James 1:22 says. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. If you sit around in a holy huddle and just talk about the Bible, welcome to deception. Bible says, those who know and follow Jesus, if they're eating solid food, they're doing something with it. There's an appropriate progress. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. Are you eating solid food? So, man, with infants, we want to be gentle. Some of you here, you need milk, and we are glad to give you milk because we all start somewhere in Jesus. Coming to faith in him and growing in the knowledge of Jesus has to start somewhere with milk. But man, if you're here and you're just immature, I want to be direct with you. It's time to stop drinking milk. I was talking about this text with some friends this week, and one of them said, here's an interesting question. When was the last time you ate solid food? Christian friend, when was the last time you ate solid food? How do you know? How do you know in your life it was solid food? It's a great question. I think it comes down to appropriate goals and appropriate desires and appropriate progress. I shouldn't have eaten that. You ever said that? Shouldn't have eaten that. Maybe last night you're like, man, I should not have eaten that. My wife's out of town right now. She's a great cook, so I'm taking care of myself right now. How do you think that's going? It's not going great. Actually, it is going great. It's like pizza and fast food. I got it, right? She worries about me. So she puts stuff in the freezer like, don't eat that, all right? You're not 5 years old. Eat this. It's good for you. She looks out for me. That's good, isn't it? Because I need to eat appropriately. And left to myself, I don't eat appropriately. You see where I'm headed? Spiritually speaking, some of us, man, we're just down in the pizza. Or we're drinking the milk. James tells us we should be eating a doer's diet. We all should be spiritual dietitians. On our own, we ought to be able to look at our menu and look at our palate and say, I got to quit eating that stuff. That's not helping me grow. Writer of Hebrews is frustrated and says, man, some of you need taught. You should be teaching. Some of you, you're drinking milk. You got to move on to solid food. Your appetite has not expanded. What a challenge to us. With infants, we're gentle. There's milk. With the immature, we're direct. The writer says, solid food. Doer's diet. You got a doer's diet? Are you a spiritual dietitian? All scripture, this is 2 Timothy, look at this. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that look at this vision, man and woman of God. What does a man and woman of God look like? They're someone with the appropriate goals, appropriate desire, and appropriate progress. Training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I grow in knowledge. I wonder, are you eating meat? Are you eating solid food? Are you drinking milk? Are you training to distinguish between good and evil? That's the last thing. Verse 14, look what he says. For those whose senses, in other words, back up, he says solid food. Solid food is for those whose senses, or the word there is perceptions, have been trained to distinguish good from evil. That word trained is interesting. We get the English word gymnasium from that, gymnastics. Your senses, your perceptions, if you know and follow Jesus, need a gym membership. Take your senses to the gym. We take our bodies to the gym. What about our senses? Do we take them to the gym? Hebrews 12:11, look, here's the same word used. No discipline seems enjoyable. Sometimes God disciplines us. It doesn't seem enjoyable. It's painful. But later on, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been what? Trained by it. When God brings suffering into my life, it's to help me grow up. So hopefully I've gone from milk to solid food and I'm progressing appropriately. And when that suffering comes, it's hard to go through, but it's like, oh, that made me better. It's more practice. Some of us, we're not practicing. And man, we need to take our perceptions and our training to the gym. our senses to the gym. We need to practice. Some of you go to the gym. Some of you even working with a personal trainer, right? Me and my personal, would you come to me and say, hey, could you be my personal trainer? Like, tell me some things about working out. Look at me. No, you wouldn't do that. No, why? Because I'm not trained. You go to someone who has more practice than you do. They're a trainer because they're a professional and they can help you accomplish whatever goal it is you want to do with your body or with your finances. I go to a professional who's practicing, who trains. I wonder, is it like that in your spiritual life? Is it like that in my spiritual life to where I take my senses, I take my perceptions to the gym on a regular basis and I practice them so that when there's good and there's evil, it's like, I can distinguish that. I can discern that. You know what that takes? It takes maturity. It takes solid food and not milk. So are you training your senses to distinguish good from evil? What does that look like? I love this verse, Acts 17:11. This is a group of people. Acts 17, Paul's on the move. He's doing mission work. And it's describing the people he goes to. These people are Bereans. Look at this. The people here, they were of more noble character. What made them more noble? They received the word with eagerness, and they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Is that you? And listen again, I'm not talking about somebody just doing information dump into your ear because you have the iPhone, iPods in and you're listening to a podcast or your favorite sermon or reading your favorite book. Those things are great. I'm talking about, are you in the Bible? Are you opening the Bible and eating the solid food that is there if you're mature in Jesus? Are you at a place where you can teach instead of needing to be taught? Paul says, I went into Berea, and these people here, man, when I started talking, they opened the Bible. And they look at the Bible and say, is what he's saying match up with what the Bible says? Because that's a sign that we're not dull. And the last 10% is this. We don't want to be dull. We want to be experienced and not inexperienced. We want to be discerning and not undiscerning. We want to be skilled and not unskilled. I got to apply this. I have 4 minutes. I'm doing so much better than last service. Thank you. I think this summarizes this text really well. This phrase is from a commentary. If people want to be taught the basic principles of God's revelation again, when they should be communicating basic Christian teaching to others and desiring solid food for themselves, a serious case of arrested spiritual growth has developed. Man, that is, put that on your fridge. It wouldn't make a tattoo, but put that on your fridge. Is there a serious case of arrested spiritual growth in your life, in my life? Do I need taught when I should be teaching? Am I drinking milk when I should be eating solid food? Have I trained my senses to distinguish good from, that's bad. That's good, based on the Bible. Can we do that? So here's the point. Dull to discerning. It wasn't hard. The words are in the Bible. CSB's lazy, but the word's dull. Our senses have become dull, and I want senses that discern. Go from dull to discerning. And man, we've run through a lot of ways that the author gives to the original audience there. Let me apply this in two ways, all right? Two things I want to say to you by way of application. Very practical. Share your life. That's number one. Share your life. The revelation of God is for transformation, not information. So if you're eating solid food, what are you doing with it? That's the real question. Be a doer. A doer's, you know what my diet is? It's a doer's diet, right? That's what we want. Give me more information. Information is great. What are you doing with it? What am I doing with it? Share your life. How are you doing with that? What am I doing to share my life with others? To share what I know? Let me get so practical, it'll knock you out. Keystone Kids. Do you know our growth curve is really up from post-COVID? Really up. And guess what you do when you come to church, many of you? You bring your kids. Stop bringing your kids. No, I'm kidding. Keep bringing your kids. Keep bringing your kids. We love them. Do you see this? I mean, we have a church growth plan with this. All these people up here. keep bringing your kids, but Keystone brothers and sisters, some of you, we need you to step into kids' ministry and help us. To teach instead of being taught. And when I say teach, we're not gonna give you a Bible and send you into a room. You wouldn't make it. We got everything you need. We got curriculum. We got the plan. We got the program. We're organized. You understand? But you know what we need? We need mature people who say, I wanna share it. I wanna share my life. I wanna share what I know. I should be teaching. I'm sitting here being taught. I should be teaching. I should be helping a little kid know and follow Jesus. Can you do that? How's your progress? Is it appropriate? All these things we ran through this morning, gauge yourself and then sign up to help teach a child. Help teach a child. Share your life. I loved how in Hebrews 4:12, the Bible was called a sword. You remember that? And it cuts us open and it exposes us. I thought to myself, we ought to all be able to use the sword on others to do what the sword did on us. Isn't that true? Like, the sword of God's word opens me up and helps me understand who I am. And in my maturity in Jesus, I ought to be able to take that sword and do it with someone else. That's a great goal. Why not start with a child? I expect you all to sign up. So share your life. Share your life. Read your Bible. That's the second one. And some of you are like, well, now when you say read the Bible, what do you mean? I mean, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Here's why that's so important. We did a survey a little while back. Remember that? We have four stages of kind of where are you at in your maturity. The second most mature Christians at Keystone, so just above stage one in maturity, there has been, with that group of people in our church, an 8% increase in reading of the Bible. It's awesome. 8% of you who identified at kind of that second place of spiritual growth, you're like, 8% of you are like, I'm reading the Bible more. However, our most mature believers, so you're number four on that pendulum. Think solid food, not milk. Think teaching, not being taught. Of those most mature, there was an 8% decrease in reading the Bible. Now listen, I read earlier, sometimes it's an inability. But what that tells me is there's a whole bunch of people here, this is hard, but who say, I'm very mature, but I am unwilling to pick up the Bible and read it for myself. 8% less of us. That's convicting. It's convicting to me. I hope it's convicting to you if you're in that demographic. We want to help you practically. Three things. Tonight, as part of our pathway, we offer step three. Step three is an intentional discipleship process we offer two times a year. Here's what I want to do. Even if you're not in a pathway, even if you've been a member here for years, I would like to welcome you at 4:00 to come to step three. I won't even charge you for it. We don't charge people anyway, but if that makes you feel better, please come. 4:00, you can come. We'll give you a booklet. We're going to talk about four simple tools: how to study the Bible, how to pray, how to live like Jesus, and how to share your faith. Listen, some of you, maybe you say, I'm being taught. I need to teach. Sign me up. You don't even have to sign up. Show up. I'll be looking for you. No, I would love to have you. Join us for that. And we'll talk that through with our pathway folks, but if you're here and you want to come, 4:00, join us for step three. Online, in the rest of our Hebrew series, if you go to KeystoneLife.com front page, Hebrews resources, every week now we're going to offer, it says go deeper. You'll see a folder there, go deeper. And we're going to offer questions on the sermon each week that take you a little deeper than what you might get in your connection group. Maybe you want to do them as a connection group, maybe on your own. But I'd encourage you to go to that link. There's questions there about this sermon today that'll take you deeper. Like, I need to eat some meat, spiritual food. Last thing is this, beginning of November 27th, we are gonna offer a Christmas equipping guide to help take you through the teaching series where you will read the Bible on your own, learn how to study it, learn how to apply it. Why are we doing that? Because listen, we wanna address that in our church. We don't wanna see an 8% drop, especially for people who say, you know what, I'm just unwilling. No excuse for that for any of us, beginning with me, right? So brothers and sisters, from dull to discerning, that's what we wanna be. If you're here and you're a spiritual infant, I wanna be gentle with you because Jesus is gentle with you. That you would grow and that you would desire milk, that's appropriate. But Keystone family, if you're here and it should be spiritual food, I wanna challenge you. I wanna challenge myself. Let's go from dull to discerning. In Ephesians, the Bible says Jesus is the head of the body, into which we all grow up. What a vision that is. A fully functioning body supporting one another with Christ as the head. May that be true of Keystone Church. May it be true in your life, from dull to discerning. Let's pray. God in heaven, we were spoken at by the writer of Hebrews, and beginning with the heart that's inside of me, there's a check of what is appropriate in my life, my desires, my progress. Lord, my willingness to give. I don't just want revelation to inform, I want revelation to transform. So we have kids, we have new Christians, we have sons and daughters, people need to know and follow Jesus. Lord, help us to step up, help us to be the people who are discerning and who share that. So Lord, just use your word to challenge us as we prayed at the beginning. And we'll thank you for the work it will do in us because of Jesus. In his name, amen.